You're listening to Trope or Not to Trope, where your hosts, Kelly,
Kristen,
and Ray.
Hello and welcome to our astrology mini-series, where we look at a character trait associated with a given star sign, this week's being Cancer, and discuss the nuances of that trait as it appears in fictional characters. As a disclaimer, we're not talking about characters that are canonically Cancers, nor are we trying to imply that any of the characters talked about today are Cancers in every way. Astrology is already very subjective, so we're just going to focus on a single trait. Also, we're covering Cancer now because actual Cancer season, late June and July, happens while we're on hiatus. But don't worry about it, it's Scorpio season, and Scorpio and Cancer are friends, so it's okay.
Perfect.
Okay, now the Cancer sign, my sign, is associated with empathy, loyalty, and creativity. Individuals with their sun in Cancer are said to be moody, manipulative, and sentimental. The Cancer sign is a crab, leading to the analogy that Cancers are very sensitive until they've developed a strong outer shell. So, though they may appear hard on the outside, Cancers are also very understanding and caring types, which brings us to the trait we'll be discussing today, nurturing. So, before we start talking about characters directly, what comes to mind for you guys when you think about the concept of nurturing?
I mean, immediately it's like, oh, taking care of something, like feeding or like making sure something stays alive. I mean, it doesn't have to be human child. It could be plant or something.
Yeah.
Plant mom.
Plant mom.
Yeah. For me, I feel like it's more of a vibe. Like, it's that kind of like, because I was looking this up and like, I was looking into a lot of like fictional mothers and a lot of them do not feel nurturing to me. Like, Lorelai Gilmore came up on all of the lists and like, she does not feel super nurturing to me. And so it's more of a vibe of like comforting and warm and like Kelly said, taking care, but it's like that dad vibe, mom friend person, you know?
Yeah, mom friend.
It's
yeah.
Not necessarily a mother, but like someone who has mom vibes.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, so like who has mom vibes?
Molly Weasley.
Yes! Uh-huh. Yep.
Also kind of Steve Harrington.
Oh,
yes!
Boy.
Oh my gosh, yes! I was thinking of him too!
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that like mentor teacher person kind of fits here too. So like Robin Williams from Dead Poets Society came to mind.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nurturing. Yeah.
Also, of course, Esme and Carlisle Cullen and Morticia and Gomez Adams.
Yes.
Those iconic parent duos.
Oh, Uncle Iroh.
Uncle Iroh there. Yes. Oh my goodness. I was also also Katara. Katara's like the mom friend of the
mom friend.
Group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Mandalorian.
Oh.
Mm.
He's taking care of Baby Yoda. We'll just say that.
Ooh, the monkey mom from Tarzan.
Yes.
Kala. That's her name.
Kala.
The gorilla. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh dear.
Uh-huh. Weirdly, I feel like Captain Picard from Star Trek also has nurturing energy.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Like, yeah, because I want to talk about that later. Yeah.
Patrick Stewart just has that vibe. Like,
yeah.
I think I see what you mean. I would not have thought about it, but
right. Like, he's just so like kind and patient and like just he's great.
Helps people understand and grow.
Much better than Kirk. Don't come after me.
Of course, from like The Sound of Music, like Maria von Trapp. Ooh,
yes, she is good.
Mm-hmm. Or like Mary Poppins,
Mary
I guess.
Poppins,
Okay, Mary Poppins didn't feel as nurturing to me because she like nurturing feels like it has the opposite. It's on the opposite end of the spectrum as like cold.
Okay.
And like Mary Poppins has that kind of like cold, like we're gonna get this done. Like she very much cares about the kids, but like
she's more like more detached. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. But but I still feel like that could be nurturing because it could be, I mean, she does have like some tough love, but at the same time, she does care for the children, still feels like. So it, like she's doing it for the betterment of the kids.
This is where it like gets messy to me. Cause like, like you were saying, Kelly, like nurturing can apply to anything. Like, do you take care of plants? Do you take care of animals? Do you take care of your house? Do you take care of children, your friends? Like, and like, then it's like degrees on that scale. Like, do you just make sure the plants stay alive? Do you sing them to sleep? Like what is happening? And like, so I guess in the context of this episode, at least nurturing to me falls further on the end of that scale. Like you're warm, you're like making warm milk for kids when they can't sleep. You're hugging them when they have nightmares. Like you're the mom friend who always has snacks in your purse and is like listening and being people's therapist and all of that.
Yeah. I also tend to like, even though I know things like when what we were saying with Mary Poppins is she seems a little more distant, a little more cold. I think that's partly because she is enforcing rules and enacting order on the kids. Whereas like, that's not the first thing I think of when I think of nurturing. I think of more of like the things that we've been describing where like they're providing food, they're providing comfort. And not that Mary Poppins doesn't do that things, those things. It's just that she also does the more take people to task disciplinary side of things, which like is part of nurturing, but that's not the part that I tend to think of.
That's true. Yeah. That's not my first thought either. But at the same time, like, I don't know if it's like the science fiction fantasy nerd in me, but I feel like there are definitely characters, and maybe we'll talk about this later, where they're more of a guardian figure and like they're colder and yet still like care about the people they're protecting, but have to be distanced because of station or like whatever. And so
I feel like I wouldn't call that nurturing. Like, I know what you're saying and I love that dynamic. Nurturing is just not the word I would apply to it.
That's fair. Like, I typically do think of like, okay, nurturing, of course, like mom or dad figure, like here to help and like caring and like understanding and maternal or paternal or like whatever, like that totally is like, of course. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I feel like there can be certain instances where like, what if a character just isn't good at showing that they're like they feel like they're caring for this person and they're nurturing, and like maybe this is a main character nurturing question, but like
I feel
the
way I think about it with what you're describing is like that's a character that isn't normally nurturing, but we see a nurturing side of them when they're put in plot circumstances and they have to take care of someone.
Yes. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, is like the nurturing side of them rather than like them being nurturing.
Yeah, I feel like at least in my mind, there's a difference between caring and nurturing.
Ooh.
Like the characters you're describing are like caring, and like you see that like, oh, they actually do have a soft side and they care about other people. And like, that is an excellent dynamic. But like, I feel like it's rarer to see them have a nurturing side, quote unquote, because like that would require being more hands-on almost, I guess. I think in my mind, nurturing is very focused on the person or thing that you are nurturing. Whereas like Mary Poppins is, like you were saying, right? She's focused on her rules. Like she's focused on like making things better. And like, she cares about the kids, but she cares about the kids through like making them clean up their nursery and like all of that. Whereas like nurturing my mind is like Molly Weasley hugging Harry Potter, you know, or like making sure they have food or like at all times or too much food, you know.
Knitting
maybe sweaters.
Maybe I'm just getting hung up on more of like the nurturing trait or like nurturing side rather than the person, like the character as a whole. So if that's what we're going for with this episode, I think that'll help me. Because like there can be a side to a person where they're doing it for the betterment of another character, and like they could be a little bit colder and like show signs of like being caring and like soft and like gentle and all of that.
Like I do think reluctant father figure trope can relate to this trait because that's frequently like what comes about is like they didn't want to take care of this thing or this person or whatever it is at first. This plant. They didn't want to reluctant plant pad. Didn't want this ficus, but now.
Now. Kristen, it's you.
Yes. I know. I don't know. Do you guys think like emotional intelligence is involved in nurturing? Because I'm like kind of thinking of Stranger Things and like comparing Steve Harrington to Chief Hopper. Okay. And like Hopper does not feel nurturing to me. He definitely cares for Eleven and like he
provides keeps her food. Alive,
provides for her, like is occasionally like fatherly. Uh-huh. But in general, he's not super nurturing. He just kind of like provides a house, provides waffles, like whatever. Whereas
he's trying his
like,
best.
Steve is like, you know, talking the kid through like what hairspray to use and listening to his girl problems and like all of that. And that feels more nurturing to me because it's like caring for someone's emotional well-being, which seems a big part of it, at least to me.
It's more hands-on and involved in the details, whereas Hopper feels more distant, just kind of, okay, do you have what you need? Good. Just stop right there.
I think a lot of the reluctant father figures like fall into that. And honestly, even like a lot of fictional mothers fall into that, like, I'm going to provide what you need and like I'm going to give you a set of guidelines that will make your life better, but it's not necessarily like, oh, I'm going to nurture your growth. I mean, obviously, like all of these words can be defined in many ways. So I'm just kind of trying to draw lines around this episode.
Yeah. Cause I feel like that'll help me. Cause as of right now, it's like, I mean, there is definitely a strong connotation of like being more hands-on and more like emotionally available for like whoever it is you're taking care of. But I don't know if that is always necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know, like, okay, if you think of the word nurture, it's like, maybe it's because I'm thinking of like plants right now, for instance, you're not necessarily going to be like emotionally connected or aware of the plant. You're there to take care of the plant and like raise the plant and like, yeah, you might like speak to them, but, you know, whatever. And could that also extend to a child or a sibling or like another person where you're taking care of them, providing them whatever they need? But right, Kristen, like, does that also extend to the emotional needs?
I just Googled the definition of nurture because I was curious, and it says care for and encourage the growth or development of. And I think what hangs me up is the encourage, because a lot of those reluctant father figures don't really like encourage growth so much as they're just like, you're not gonna die.
Stumbling into you know, stumbling into growth and not.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm gonna keep you alive, I'm gonna keep you healthy, but like that's really all I'm gonna do.
Well, that's I think depending on how far they develop into their father figure role, because part of what makes reluctant father figure fun is previously this person didn't care about whatever thing they wanted, they're now taking care of. And then they develop into almost a different person because, like, they're trying so hard to take care of and nurture. And it doesn't always have to go the full way, but that's, like, kind of what you want to see.
And I also get hung up on like, okay, we mentioned Hopper and Stranger Things, like he starts off and he is like, he does not know what to do, he doesn't know how to like encourage or like emotionally be aware and everything, but like as the seasons progress, like he definitely tries, and I'm like, okay, well does this mean like he gets better at it as he goes, And like same thing with like other reluctant father figures, like you think of The Last of Us. Like at first it's like very reluctant, does not want to be available whatsoever. And then as the series progresses, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to teach this kid how to like do this. Then I'm going to be there for them emotionally and like all this. So like, where is the line?
It just becomes like, this 180 flip.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it. Yeah. They change each other.
Yeah. Like I think a lot of father figures do get there. Like Hopper, like he does become a better person. He becomes a better like caretaker, but I don't think he ever crosses over into nurturing, because I think for me, that line is like emotional intelligence, basically.
Yeah. And I think part of the key part, at least like the connotations of the word nurturing, implies a certain amount of warmth. Like, I think you're right about that. That's what it seems to indicate, even though you could file a bunch of these characters under technically they're nurturing because they are providing all of these things. But like, if you want the like, if you ask someone like who's nurturing, you're going to get more of the other answers that we first came up with, like Molly Weasley and like our other like just like mom figures, people who like provide food, people who like will comfort people who are crying, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I feel like you like a nurturing character, you have to be able to picture them saying, oh sweetie, or oh honey, like it kind of goes together.
I just pictured Steve Harrington doing that, and I can see.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
You can't picture Hopper doing it.
No. You are right.
Maybe it's because I just love the reluctant father figure trope. I'm like, well, they'll get there one day. Like, I believe in them.
I also love it. And, like, I especially love the ones that do get there. You know, no, actually, yeah. I love all of them. But, yeah. I feel like there is a bridge that a lot of them don't cross.
Mm. No,
mostly
that's
because reluctant father figures are often in like action-based things, and so plot happens before they can be actually nurturing. It's hard to nurture someone when everyone's trying to kill you.
Yes. You know, little things.
Little things.
Okay, sometimes nurturing can go too far and end up more smothering or overprotective. I tend to think of these traits as extensions of each other, though most instances I see in fiction, a character is portrayed as either the positive or the negative version. Think how, like, Hagrid generally exists versus how Petunia Dursley specifically acts with Dudley. Like, those two are very different vibes, even though they could both be considered extensions of nurturing. So, how do you guys think about it? How does nurturing become a bad thing? Are there any instances in fiction where you see both sides of the trait?
I feel like this hits our Enneagram 2 episode a lot, because like you get the characters like Anna from Frozen, who is like a very caring and nurturing person, until like the people she is nurturing don't want to be nurtured anymore, and then it becomes smothering and overprotective and kind of toxic.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it comes down to like how the people they're trying to nurture react.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and it's usually something like, okay, yeah, it could be a sibling or a parent or whatever, or like a parent figure. And it usually comes with like good intentions. They want the best for their child, but then sometimes what you get is, well, you don't want the child to experience any pain or like, any kind of harm. And it's like, well, that's unrealistic. And also like is harming them in the long run, because then they won't know exactly what to expect in real life. So yeah, going back to the, it's toxic. It's not good for this character, even though like that nurturing character is like trying to do good. It's not doing good. It's harming them.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's like literally the thing that's played out in Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's trying to protect Nemo from the world, and that's just not going to end well.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, a lot of Pixar parents do that, too. Because, like, the mother in Brave has a little bit of that.
Yeah, yeah. She kind of has a different vision for her daughter than what her daughter sees for herself.
Yeah.
Which, like, it also depends on your point of view character. Because if you have a nurturing parent in a YA book told from the point of view of a 17-year-old who wants to live her own life, that nurturing is going to quickly become smothering and overprotective.
Uh-huh,
but if you have the same story, if you have the same story told from the parent's point of view, it suddenly becomes very reasonable. You're right, though, Ray. Like, in fiction, you do normally see just, like, extremes of this. Which is interesting. Ooh, what, we've talked about Harry Potter a lot. The terrible one, Umbridge. Would she count as nurturing in, like, a very toxic way?
Weird. She falls more on, like, disciplinary side of things, like we talked about. Yeah. So we wouldn't think of that.
Yeah, I don't know if she would.
Like, she has the trappings of someone who's nurturing.
That's
like,
true.
She's like, the pink and the present place and the, like, sweet little voice.
Yep. Well,
oh, and that kind of reminds me of, in fairy tales, like, the stepmother sometimes is presented as, like, of course she's nurturing and, like, kind and sweet, and then really she's just manipulating the main character to, like, go out into the forest and, I don't know, trade her soul for gold or something.
Or she acts like that around, like, the main characters. Yes. Like, she's the evil stepmother, right? So she acts nice when, like, the father is around, but as soon as he's gone, well, Cinderella is going to be wearing rags and cleaning the fireplace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of it also comes down to, like, basically what you want. Like, if the nurturing character wants something different for the main character than, like, the main character wants, then that nurturing is encouraging you in a wrong direction and it becomes smothering, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Something that I find curious that isn't usually portrayed as much, but I mentioned Petunia and Dudley, and I definitely think Petunia is babying and smothering Dudley, but he doesn't seem to act like it. He just seems to accept everything that she does. But it's like she's so overprotective about him that I don't think of it as, like, nurturing. I think of it more as, like, too much, more in that smothering direction.
Well, it's also interesting because the lens is not on them.
Yeah.
Like, we see a little bit glimpse into their lives, I guess, but they're portrayed as, like, kind of, awful characters. So it's like, oh, well, yeah, they're just like a side story. That's true. Like, we don't see a lot of that, but when we do, I don't know if the reader always, like, cares about the well-being of that character and so isn't considering, like, is this nurturing or not?
Yeah, it's very much like the mama and mama's boy kind of dynamic that, like, no one likes. That's not usually the main character, and if it is, they're usually the plot is something how he becomes not that.
Well, I haven't seen it, but, like, Bates Motel.
Oh.
Mm.
Like, that TV show.
I have not seen it.
Oh, the prequel, I guess, to Psycho and, like, what happens to... Oh, yeah. So it's definitely, like, the main character is Norman Bates, and then, or I guess maybe the mother is. I'm not sure. Again, haven't seen it, but I've seen, like, snippets of it.
Okay.
And I can imagine that it's very much like, oh, mother, like, mama's boy. And how crazy that can get. Obviously. Turns into a horror movie, so.
Doesn't end well.
Yeah.
I will say, we also see Petunia through Harry's point of view. And so, like, if the story were from Dudley's point of view, she wouldn't really seem as smothering, which, like, I know, like, looking at it logically as a human being, you're like, oh yeah, she is spoiling that child and it's terrible. But, like, you see it essentially through the eyes of an 11-year-old who is not being spoiled, which makes it even more like horrid, essentially. Uh-huh. Makes it even bigger.
That makes sense. Also, spoiled was the word that I was looking for earlier. Mothering and spoiled. She's spoiling her child. She is nurturing too much. That is too much nurture.
Yes. Which, like, he ended up okay. So, like, how bad was it, really?
I couldn't think of many characters where you see both. There is a small instance. I think there might be a couple, but there's, like, one instance with Molly Weasley where she's generally a positive figure, right? But there's one point in the third book, I don't know if it made into the movie, where Harry overhears her and Arthur Weasley talking, and Arthur wants to tell Harry that Sirius Black is after him, but Molly doesn't want him to tell Harry because it'll just make, she thinks it'll make Harry worried for no reason. Meanwhile, Arthur is like, he has a right to know, or he should know, he should be careful. So it's like that kind of protective impulse, like getting in the way of actually like telling Harry what he should know.
To be fair, I'm not sure I would tell a 13-year-old that a mass murderer was after them. You know, seems like need to know information.
Would you consider yourself a nurturing character, Kristen?
No. I have a love-hate relationship with my plant, and it will never get better.
It survives.
It does. It survives. Even that. Thrives. It just exists in my house. I did not buy it. It just ended up in my house. I don't think you see like the extremes in both characters often, but I feel like any sitcom mother or like long running series mother ends up with a little bit of both.
Oh, ends up doing both because they need to have they need conflict plot at some point.
Yeah. You also get it with the, like, I don't know if it's quite the same thing, but like the overprotective, overinvolved boyfriend trope.
Ooh. Oh,
like you get the I just want the best for you.
Oh, and then, no.
You know. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like when Edward stops listening to Bella because he wants to protect her.
Yes. No.
The whole I'm going to make this choice for you kind of thing. My least favorite trope. Uh-huh. That's not true. There are ones I hate more. Okay. It's just up there.
I hate it in particular when you have a character who is a reasonable person, even if they are nurturing, they're a reasonable person, but then you can tell that they're making them be unreasonable and overprotective just because it adds conflict. I hate that.
Yeah.
Yes.
It has to make sense for the character.
Yes.
So continuing off of the negative side of things, we tend to think of nurturing as a selfless trait, but there are some characters, I'm thinking specifically of Mother Gothel raising Rapunzel in Tangled, who seem to do a pretty good job of it, even though their motivations are entirely selfish. Is that dynamic real, or is that just a bit we're glossing over to set up the story?
I think it is absolutely real.
Mm.
But, like, I think it's in the way that the person looks at the thing that they're nurturing, because Mother Gothel does not look at Rapunzel as her child. She looks at her as kind of like a prize show dog, essentially. Yes. And so you're not, if you have a prize show dog, like you're not going to kick it. You're going to treat it well, feed it well, all of that. But it's not the same as like raising a child who you love unconditionally, you know. Second Rapunzel stopped being useful to her, like, she didn't care.
Yeah.
Right, because she's not nurturing Rapunzel, the person. She's nurturing Rapunzel, the magic wish flower or whatever.
Uh-huh. So she just wants a polite magic child that will stick around and be easy to work with.
Yeah, she took very good care of the flower, too.
Uh-huh. She did, but she's not nurturing Rapunzel in the sense of like, yeah, I want to make sure like you're doing all right and let's sit down and let's talk about it, make sure you're okay. So
are you fulfilling your full potential? What do you want out of life?
So yes, but no.
I will say an interesting thing in this vein is like I feel like the alpha bitch trope is kind of like the toxic kind of nurturing. Because, you know,
please elaborate.
Like, no, like, especially if you think of, what is it, Mean Girls? Because she takes the new girl under her wing and, like, trains her and, like, tries to raise her the right way. But, like, she's still the alpha bitch, obviously. And so she, like, turns on her when she's not useful anymore, that kind of thing.
It's like, this really manipulative love bombing kind of thing where you get someone on your side by making them feel so special, and then she's just a bitch to them whenever she wants to be.
Yeah.
And it's also like awful. In investing in something that you think is going to be useful to you, basically.
Yep.
Because like, Cher and Clueless and, Emma from Emma are the same kind of like, they're not quite alpha bitches, but they have the same kind of like, I'm going to take care of you because I'm bored and it seems fun.
We're going to make you popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think all of those things can be nurturing. You just sort of see, depending on what their motive is, you just see the different ways that it plays out. So like how Regina acts with Katie is different than how Mother Gothel acts with Rapunzel. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of see the cracks, and you see like kind of what they care about that isn't just like this person and their well-being.
Yeah, nurturing to me is interesting because it's like, it doesn't have to be connected to any particular motivation. Like it can be just a set of actions that someone does, then it still counts as nurturing. Like obviously, it's going to be better if they're actually a nurturing person who cares about the thing or person that they're nurturing. But, like, if someone goes through the motions, you're like, oh, yeah, they're being nurturing.
But is there heart in it?
Yeah,
and
right.
Also, like, is it, I don't know if this is splitting hairs, but, like, is it also really the best for the character? Because at the end, Katie doesn't really, she's her own. She learns, like, oh, I don't have to be popular. I can just be myself. And, like, that's the sparkle theme. But, like, I don't know if that's too nitpicky or if, like, oh, well, yeah, like, you can be nurturing in, like, the wrong way. And, but, like, in a specific instance, like, yes, you want to fit in? Okay, cool. I can, like, totally teach you how to do that, even though that's not going to be the end goal. Necessarily.
I mean, if you're writing fiction and focusing on a nurturing character, then part of your plot is inevitably going to be when nurturing goes wrong. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's just, that is how fiction works. So,
yeah. So it doesn't necessarily have to be, again, like, oh, well, this isn't really the best for the character. Like, this is going to go wrong. It's just the act.
I mean, if your main character is the person being nurtured, then I do think a natural progression of a story is either like the nurturing's going too far and they're feeling smothered or what, or spoiled or something like that, or there's just something where they like naturally outgrow it, or the nurturing figure isn't present anymore, so then they have to take care of themselves. Okay. Usually there's some kind of progression like that.
That makes sense. Yeah. I just wanted to double check. And make sure.
I feel like
and
if your nurturing character is your main character as well, you're going to have similar kinds of plots like Anna and Frozen. Like,
but
this person doesn't want to be nurtured. Now what do I do?
I feel like our nurturing characters, we mentioned that they're similar to Enneagram 2. Like, so do they also have the like perpetual supporting character problem, like, because you can write a story where they're the main character, but we've been describing a lot of side characters.
I think they do a lot.
I will say, like, the only ones that I could think of where it's like, yeah, the main character and they're like nurturing would be anime.
Oh,
where it's like seen as like, oh yeah, I could think of like a few, especially
As soon as you said that, I'm like, Toru, Fruits Basket.
Exactly. So there's a lot of, like, shoujo manga, which are, like, oh, yeah, manga for, like, young women that are about romance and, like, maybe, like, slice of life and stuff, too. And usually, a lot of times, that main character is, like, oh, I want to take care of you and, like, how the other supporting characters like respond to that is what makes it really interesting. So like there's that, and then there's also like the flip side where sometimes like you'll get this in like shonen manga, which are like for like young men, and where you get this is kind of like, which is kind of interesting, but like you have a main character that like cares deeply for all of like the supporting cast, like everyone he usually he like meets, and so this can be like Luffy, for instance, who is like in One Piece, and like he's very nurturing and inclusive of like his crew, and he's like, oh, you're gonna join me on my like pirate ship or whatever, and I'm the captain, and like I understand that like you struggle with this, and he kind of like helps them see good in themselves and like also brings them together. So I could see that being nurturing, but like a different side of nurturing. But I don't know if I see it as much in like books and TV shows in like Western media. So it's interesting that, I don't know, it's in manga and anime, but
I was going to say that almost speaks to a cultural difference, because like here we tend to focus very, very much on individualism. Like your main character is going to go save the world, and maybe they have a team, like maybe they have friends, but it's still very, it, like it's more focused on the individual than the group. Whereas I think more anime do both. There's a lot of plot lines that are about each person in the group becoming their best selves with everyone else together as a team.
So maybe it just fits neatly in the setup.
I think you do get this a lot in like chick lit. So you get like the divorced mother fiction. You get the like point of view from like a mother who's having a hard time, like because her children are leaving the nest. Like you get the romance heroines who are like trying to, the I can fix him kind of heroines. You get the like, and there's a lot of like female friendship too now coming into the romance scene. So like you get a lot of that because they're the main character. They're obviously the one doing the nurturing of the like female side characters. So you do get that.
That's true.
In some, and like I was saying, like sitcoms don't really have main characters necessarily, like, or they have a large cast of main characters, but at least one of them is usually some kind of mother figure. So
yeah,
you get that in there. I think you can also like get this in the types of things like Dead Poets Society, where you like it may not be the character that the movie or book is following, but like it is the main character because it's the one everyone else cares about, you know?
So it's like still a very important role, even though, say, your point of view characters are everybody else that are just viewing this one character.
I want to say that I want to see this more in like ensemble casts with like leaders. I know like what's popular right now is like, oh yeah, there's a leader, and like the leader's arc is to learn like how to basically like be a leader, how to direct the team. And so there's a lot of like fumbles there. It's like, oh yeah, of course, like this person isn't nurturing because they're trying to learn how to like actually lead and like function. But I feel like sometimes I just want a good, like, if we're going space opera, like a good space opera where it is like, oh yeah, there's a captain of a ship. And like, again, like going back to the, maybe they just want to fulfill all of their crewmates, like full potential. And so they're like nurturing them to like rise up and be the best, their best selves. And I'm like, I don't really feel like I see that as much anymore. And I don't know if I'm just looking in the wrong place, but
I would love to see more of that.
Yeah, that would be cool. I want to see, like, oh yeah, a true leader, like, right off the get-go. And that's not to say they're not going to struggle in other ways, but I don't know, like, a natural leader would be cool.
Yes. I think you can also, you can see nurturing main characters in certain kinds of fantasy, because you get, like, I don't know, the 17-year-old protagonist whose whole family is warriors, but they're a healer. You know,
yes, that's true.
So you get that a lot.
The other kind of genre I was thinking of are movies about someone working with animals, basically. Oh, so, yes. Like, they're nurturing yes. toward the animals. So, I don't know.
Yep.
Oh, like Pokemon!
Yeah, like Pokemon. Yet again, more anime.
Uh-huh. As far as just like animals, Pokemon. Oh my gosh, it's true.
Yeah, the TV show is very much about, like, I know they make the Pokemon fight, but they care very much about the Pokemon's yes, well-being.
They would give their lives. They would like jump in front of a legendary beast laser beam in order to stay.
It's like, what if animal fighting was wholesome?
It's true.
Kristen does not sound convinced.
Nope.
But you have to see at least, I don't know, one of the Pokemon movies, and then you'll understand.
Do I, though?
Or maybe they should make a movie about, I don't know, taking care of animals, and that's fine, too.
Sorry, I'm just imagining an evening where we sit Kristen down and we watch the Pokemon movie together and just enjoy that trip. Like, oh, with no, someone who doesn't know anything about Pokemon.
We have to watch Pokemon 2000.
Yeah, that one.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be fun, right, Kristen?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sure. I think even when I was a kid, I hadn't watched any other Pokemon before I was watching, like... I forget if it was the Pokemon movie or Pokemon 2000.
Yeah, it was like Pokemon the movie 2000, right?
Is that it? It's been a long time.
I know, same. But I still remember, like, there's one scene that I can't say because spoilers, and maybe Kristen will watch it with us. Maybe. where I'm like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, like, the Pokemon trainers can be considered nurturing.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Good. If they're good Pokemon trainers.
Yeah, there are bad ones. But
cool. I believe
Chris
you.
Is like, that's not going to happen.
I love how disinterested you are.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the answer is yes, it's possible. Main mm-hmm. characters mm-hmm. can be yeah. nurturing.
I think part of what has them fall into being a supporting character so often is because in order to be nurturing, they have to have someone to nurture. Otherwise, I'm showing that they're nurturing.
Yeah, it's a different set of problems if you feature a nurturing character as your main character. Like, your conflicts have to be relational, essentially. Because, like I said, it's hard to nurture someone when everyone's trying to kill you.
Uh-huh. And kind of have other priorities.
Uh-huh.
So what are the strengths of a nurturing character?
They get a main character to talk.
Ooh.
Like, strictly from, like, a plot, like, story standpoint. Mm-hmm. Like, nurturing characters are great for, like, better than having a main character talk into a mirror, you know?
Uh-huh.
What are you really sad about?
Sit down and have one of those movie moments connecting with something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then, yeah, and of course, like, bringing the team together, like, bringing the characters closer together. I mean, obviously that feeds into, the, like, getting them to talk, but also, like, getting them to work well together.
Mm-hmm. Also being prepared. Like, I feel like nurturing characters are usually prepared. They have snacks, they have band-aids, they have, you know, weapons.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, this is also a character that can rescue other characters. I'm thinking of, like, Sam rescuing Frodo and things like that. It's like, they care enough about this other person.
Yeah.
I said, how did we forget Sam? Sam is like the nurturing character. He's a gardener.
He's like, oh my gosh, he's all the nurturing. Yeah. So, like, the guardian role.
Yeah. Also, like, emotional guardian role is a fun dynamic.
Yes.
I enjoy that. especially when the person who is like being guarded is not super keen on it, but doesn't hate it enough to like make the person go away.
Yes.
That is a wonderful dynamic.
They also just like keep things running, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, things are not going to fall apart if a nurturing character is around.
Yes. Yeah. They can also help, like, resolve some conflict, too. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Maybe, like, especially if they're, again, if, like, we're thinking of, like, oh, yeah, emotional connections, like, maybe they're more, they can see other people's points of view, and they're more, like, maybe empathetic, and they mm-hmm. want the group to be in harmony. I know there are like different kinds of nurturing, mm-hmm. but like I feel like that would totally be a character could fit into that and mm-hmm. keep everyone at peace.
Yeah, I feel like those traits are like things that are character strength, but like story weakness.
Because yeah. They're yeah. Really that's true.
Things yeah. are working way too well in this story.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You have to like almost take that character away for there to be conflict and plot.
Yeah, you have
all
to be
of
careful.
The stuffed in the fridge, dead mom characters,
oh,
and all
no.
of that.
Oh no!
It's true, but no.
Uh-huh. No.
It's like Batman's parents had to die. They were doing too good a job of taking care of him.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oof. Uh huh. You guys remember the movie Sky High?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, it's a plant girl. She's oh. like. She's like the definition, she's the stereotypical definition of nurturing, because she's like got the like warm emotional like characteristics uh-huh. and she literally makes plants grow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
She'll meet you on the rooftop and talk to you about your feelings and give you an uh-huh. apple.
I mean, I feel like, yeah, we should watch that movie rather than the Pokemon movie.
I would be down for watching that movie. There was one time, I think it was in, like, middle school, I was, like, absorbed in doing a craft, and I think I just watched that movie, like, 3 times on repeat, because I was just, like, doing things and needed background noise.
Good. Oh.
Good. Yeah. Fundamental part of my childhood.
As it should be. Okay, so we talked about strengths. What about weaknesses?
I mean, the smothering thing is a big one. Like,
yeah.
I feel like even with emotional intelligence, a lot of nurturing characters like are going to have different ideas of what the person they're nurturing needs, and then that mm-hmm. creates conflict, which, again, good for story, bad for character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think they can also be kind of blind to what's going on. Like, they can care so much about a particular character that they don't recognize that person is maybe like doing things that aren't helpful, or that like basically that there are other things going on that they have to tend to because they're too focused on the person that they're nurturing, basically.
Yes. Oh yeah, and then that could also be like actually like a good thing for story, because maybe mm-hmm. like the antagonist could see this and like use that connection or that relation that strong relationship against them.
I feel like this kind of character can also like hold up ensemble cast. Like, this feels like the person who's always like rummaging in their purse for something, or like, hold on, I have the thing for this, just wait. Like,
yes.
And then it just kind of like halts forward momentum and makes everyone angry, but they can't be too angry because like this person is helpful.
So like it can slow things down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You also get an interesting dynamic with nurturing characters on like whether they're gonna be strong or not. Molly Weasley's like moment in the last movie, the like not my daughter you bitch, like that is excellent, but I feel like a lot of nurturing characters don't get there, or like don't get that moment, so they're just this like weak little sniveling like I just care about everyone's feelings.
Oh my goodness. I hate it so much when like this otherwise useful person is just kind of nerfed, I guess, by like the narrative or the writers or whatever. Like suddenly they like fall apart and they can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And like sometimes it makes sense. It's like, okay, if you're an action movie, like, and this is a normal caring person, yeah, they don't know Kung Fu, so okay. I believe you. But there are, like, other places where they just suddenly become, like, stupid. And it's like, person isn't stupid.
On the flip side of that, though, when your nurturing character does know Kung Fu for no apparent reason, like, don't usually like that either.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Is it just, like, fear of, I mean, not the Kung Fu part, but, like, the, like, idea that they can't have that badass moment? Is it because, like, the creator is just like, well, they're gentle and, like, this is their box and we have to be safe and make sure, like, they fit within that box. Like, they're still nurturing. They can't do too much. I don't know.
That's probably part of it. I think part of it probably sometimes comes back to the perpetual side character thing, because, like, you want your heroes to be doing the big action moves. Like, you can't give it to a side character. Harry Potter worked because they had, like, so many things going on.
Oh, gosh, eventually, yeah.
There was so much happening in the last book.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, foils fighting each other. Chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm torn on the, like, great end moment, because on the one hand, like, you do want to stay true to character, and so depending on how you built that character, they might panic at the end and be useless, but then again, they might also be a badass. Like, it just depends on what you've built up.
Like, I believe it with Molly Weasley, because we've already set up that she's a witch like everyone else, and she's fighting in this war like everyone else. Like, I buy it there, but you're right, with a character who's the nurturing character suddenly knows Kung Fu for no reason. I mean, I'll take it if you play it for humor in a comedy, but, like, if you're just pulling that out of nowhere, it's like, but they wouldn't know that. It just falls flat because it feels so wrong.
Like, you also get the, like, there are a couple different kinds of nurturing energy. So, like, some characters are, like, the happy little plant mom, never gonna leave my house nurturing energy. And, like, some are the straight up mama bear, like, I will kill you if you mess with my children.
Which
Molly Weasley tends to fall more into that. So, like, I understand that kind of character getting their moment. But, like, I think a lot of times those energies are confused. So, like, an author will set out and be like, oh, I have a nurturing character who's a mama bear, and then, like, forget that they're a mama bear, and, like, oh, they like to make things grow when they don't do things, you know?
Yeah. Although, their moment doesn't have to be flashy. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, action-oriented and, like, badass, so to speak. It can be something that is still, like, moving and everything, but, like, makes more sense to the character, and that's still fine.
Yes, agreed.
They don't have to punch anyone. That's fine.
And, like, not every character needs a moment either. Like, mostly if they're a main-ish character.
Right.
Okay, and of course I have our last portion. How do you write a nurturing character well? And following that, what are some things to avoid when writing a nurturing character?
Like you said, I think it was you, Ray, like, they need a thing to nurture. Whether it's a person or a plant or a dog, or, like, they need something to nurture.
Aww. Yeah. I guess since we were kind of talking about, like, the nurturing kind character, like, that's all well and good, but if they're, like, a pretty main character and, like, let's say an ensemble cast or even the main character, I don't want to just see them be kind throughout the entire thing. Like, it's okay for them to be a person. So having them kind of, like, thinking about, okay, I know we bring up Avatar, that The Last Airbender, all the time, but, like, thinking about Katara and, like, how much of an awesome character she is. And she is, like, protective and sometimes overprotective, although Sokka can be too. But, like, she, you know, she's kind and she's thoughtful and she's caring and she's all these things. However, like, she still has her moments that make sense for her character, where she's like lashing out at people, or she's acting, I don't know, human, like making mistakes. Like maybe she is being selfish, and that's okay because it has something to do with like her inner conflict and she needs to resolve that. And so like thinking about like these nurturing characters, they don't please like consider and I know we kind of say this every time, but it's important, I think, like considering like what the, if you are having a nurturing character, considering, well, what kind of nurturing are they? And then also like how can you like don't want to say break them, but at least like push them in a direction, again, if they're main characters especially, but like push them in a direction where there is conflict and where they are like they are real people and they do struggle, and sometimes they're not always you know, they're messy, they're not always great, so it's okay.
Yeah, especially if they're like close to being a main character or close to like, you know, the center of the work. Like I'm okay with like a flat nurturing character who's a side character, but like if they're like Katara or someone else who's like in your main group, your main trio, you want to see the different facets of that character. You want to see them develop. You want to like are interested in how they work as a person. It's you want to see like, well, what makes them angry or what would make them like act like if they're normally a nurturing person, what would make them attack someone else? What would like, you know, what would make them do the opposite? Would they ever do the opposite?
Yeah. And like also looking at their relationships to other people, like again, using Katara as kind of like, I don't know, an idea of it. Like she has a relationship with her brother, which is very different from the relationship with Aang, who, you know, eventually she, even though we know what the true pairing is, she has like a romantic relationship with it, that evolves over time. And so like, how does that change? And like, how does like the nurturing sense, the nurturing side of her, how does that change and shift with like how that relationship changes and like how her relationship with her brother changes and like all the new people who are introduced and how she does really want to keep the peace and also like struggling with like, oh yeah, my mom and like coming to terms with that while also like, I don't know, it's just like a bunch of different, it's interesting, I think, in an ensemble cast especially, because then you have like all these different conflicting relationships and people, and like sometimes it's really cool because you can play with, oh well, this character has known that character longer and how are they going to respond to this new character that maybe has different ideas or like maybe could be at first seen as a threat. And I don't know, there's a lot you can do there, so asking lots of questions about all of your characters, but making them people.
Yeah, considering relationships is a good point, because like no one cares about people the same way, you know? Yeah. And so I think nurturing characters, especially if they have that emotional intelligence, are going to be like, oh, this person needs to be cared about in this way, where this person needs to be cared about in this way, and like so on and so forth. So they're going to have very different relationships with different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, and like, if they don't, that's an interesting character trait. Like, if you do that on purpose, then that could be an interesting character trait. Like, are they actually nurturing or are they just going through the motions? Like,
I think that also brings up the question, if they're like, they're just flat out, like, they're nice to everybody, or are there particular people that they're nice to and nurturing toward and not others?
And like, I mentioned it earlier, but like a nurturing character doesn't necessarily need a motivation, because like some people are just like this naturally, but they do need hobbies and things they care about, because like if their entire personality trait is just caring about, or their entire personality is just caring about other people, it's not going to be an interesting character and it's not going to do much for the story. So like, like you said, Kelly, like make them a character, give them things about them, hobbies, interests, whatever.
On the list of what not to do, I'm just going to reiterate, if you have a competent, cool, practical, nurturing character, don't suddenly make them weak or dumb for no reason. I know sometimes people do it for plot and there's like not a lot of good options, but it just annoys me so much. I'm like, that person is better than that. Don't do that.
Yeah, I agree. This is also not like actual advice, but if you have an interesting, competent, nurturing character, consider if they should be your main character and not the like moody, broody, sad boy who is in love with a human. You know, I need a story about Carlisle. I do. I need this.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking of like Carlisle's perspective as Twilight is happening, as he just watches his like teenage adopted immortal son just like lose his mind over him.
Oh, Carlisle's such a better character.
Oh my
He's
god.
So much more interesting. And he cares about people. He's not just a dumbass like Edward.
So on that note, that's our episode. Listeners, what do you think? Is this podcast helping you nurture your writing abilities? Or yes. Not so much? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Send us an email at detropeornottotrope@gmail.com with your thoughts. We will be back in 2 weeks with another trope. Thanks for listening to Trope or Not to Trope, and happy writing.